Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we figure out what Peter was saying about the return of Jesus and our role in it. But first, let's pray. Loving God, thank you that we have your indwelling Holy Spirit who reveals your will in Scripture to us. Help us to hear your voice and respond accurately to it, so that our witness in this world will be noticed. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 18, and I'm reading from the NIV. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and this refers to the unexpectedness of it, not the secrecy of it. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men, and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And so may God bless his word to us always. Our focus from this text is verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We may well ask, is it at all possible that we have a role in speeding up the day of judgment? Can it be true that the behavior of Christians can speed up the day of the Lord? Or, as the implication is, does Christian inaction delay it? And if it's possible, in what way can Christians do this? And then on top of that, what does this mean for the idea of the sovereignty of God? Isn't this God's domain? Does he not decide about the times and seasons without any regard for our input or our behavior? To begin with, the whole of 2 Peter chapter 3 concerns the return of Christ in response to people who, mocking the church, called into question the promised return of Jesus. Two terms are used in this chapter, the word coming, which is the word parousia in the Greek, and the word day in chapter 3 verse 10 and verse 12. A complication we find is that in verse 10 the phrase is the day of the Lord, while in verse 12 Peter speaks of the day of God. The question is, are they referring to the same event? We find an answer in Revelation chapter 16 verse 14, where speaking of the end of all things, with Christ's return, we read of the great day of God Almighty. Some think that the switch to the term day of God is simply good style, to avoid excessive repetition. But ultimately the terms Day of the Lord and the Day of God are synonymous. And so this Day of God will be marked by the destruction of the heavens by fire, including the melting of the elements. And how this happens is not quite clear, but what is clear is that it is brought on by the Day of God. As such, it is likely not a natural catastrophe or something set off by human carelessness. We're told in Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 that God will remove the old heaven and earth, preparing the way for a new heaven and new earth, which 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 mentions. And Peter refers to this huge event not to scare Christians, but to remind them that everything done or built on this earth is temporary. And so, living in radical obedience to God pays the only lasting dividends, and this day of the Lord is the time when they will receive those rewards. Christians, therefore, are to look forward to or watch expectantly for this day. This means that they are to be aware of God's ultimate plans and live in the light of that awareness. It is interesting to note that for the New Testament writers, eschatology, meaning the theological discussion about the end times or last things, determined their ethics. That is, what one believed about the return of Christ would determine how one lived. This also means that if people have the lively expectation that Peter wants them to have, then they would live a holy life, whatever the immediate consequences, because they would have a legitimate expectation of an ultimate reward from God that would surpass earthly losses significantly. And so we come back to the idea that Christians are also to speed up or hasten the coming of that day. Jesus himself told his followers to pray for that day. For example, in the Lord's Prayer we are told to pray, "Your kingdom come." Also, the church prayed Maranatha, an Aramaic term meaning "Our Lord come." Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, and it's translated as, "Come, O Lord." And in Revelation 22, verse 20, the term is rendered as, "Come, Lord Jesus." That said, it would seem that Peter probably is referring to something more than just prayer. For there was a strong Jewish tradition based on Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22, the second part, which says, "I am the Lord. In its time I will do this swiftly." In the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, the word "swiftly" is the same as the word "speed" that Peter uses in our reading, with reference to hastening the day of the Lord's arrival. The Jewish tradition was that the coming of Messiah was held back by the sins of the people, and that repentance would hasten this day. So Peter appears to think in the same way, to agree with this. He talks throughout his letter about holiness. In verse 11 he exhorted the people to holy and godly lives, and two verses later, in verse 14, he summarized his thoughts by saying, "Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him," that is God. Therefore, what is said here is that the holiness of Christians both expresses their expectation of that day and somehow hastens its coming. Now, if Christians really have this much influence over the timing of the coming of Christ, what does that mean for God's sovereignty? Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9 again, where he says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Peter makes 2 points here. The first is that God is patient, and time, in our terms, is not an issue with him. The second is that he does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This, of course, is not a statement in support of universalism, which states that all of humanity has been saved through Jesus, whether they know it or not. Instead, God's grace is evidenced by the delay. He bears with sinners in hope of their repentance, which is his will. Underlying all of this is the special focus of Peter's concern, that the Christian community is being polluted by sin. In his sovereignty, God has determined to bring as many people to repentance and obedience as possible. And Peter does not explain what factors will make God call a final end to his efforts. Nonetheless, God sovereignly chooses to bring us into the picture in setting the time of the return of Christ in this way, by God's people taking seriously the importance of human activity in evangelism, which does not require being a missionary, but to live a godly life and to show the love of Christ to the world, always pointing them to the cross. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The end, or the day of the Lord, is connected then to the full proclamation of the gospel throughout the earth. We can try to measure the extent to which it has taken place to date, but we have no way of knowing what God has accomplished throughout the ages. So we should not presume that the day of the Lord is still very far away or very near. We should, however, simply continue to live our lives as authentically as possible, bearing in mind that that day is pending. May God help us in this remarkable enterprise. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus made it very clear that only you know the day and time of his return. Help us not to be caught up in speculation. The only thing we can know for certain is that there are two groups, those who are prepared, that is your people, and those who are unprepared, the unbeliever. Help us to have hearts for the unprepared, not only in prayer, but in our living, that our behavior will not give them a reason to reject the cross of Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.